WPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
High school football season is almost here. Let's hear from the head coaches of the Auburn High Tigers and the Lee Scott Warriors.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Welcome in here to the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Christian Griffin is coming into the studio here in a moment, trying to get some audio for you right now. It's Trip Upton getting you kicked off here on this Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's great to be out here, and it's, you know, beautiful weather today. It's what's been a chaotic morning for Christian and myself, again, getting us ready to Friday with two massive games inside the state of Alabama, with the Auburn High Tigers taking on the Hewitt Trustful Huskies and the Lee Scott Warriors taking on the Glenwood Gators. Both those home games. We'll tell you as much as you need to know throughout today's show, because we're going to talk to the head coaches of Auburn and Lee Scott. We'll have Coach Jacob Osment coming in here in a few minutes, talking with Christian about the Warriors game against the rival Glenwood Gators, as well as the...
Woo!
As Christian is finally into the studio here, my friend, and
Lee Scott football.
Yes, and I'll be able to talk with Coach Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers, get you previewed for one of the biggest matchups in 6A. Again, I said I'm Trip Upton. I welcome in my host of the show, who normally is doing this intro, and I have been conveniently stalling for time for him to get back into the studio.
Thank you.
Mr. Christian Griffin, my friend, hope it's been well. I know I told the listeners it's been very chaotic today, but football is on the horizon.
Football is on the horizon, baby, here in Auburn, Alabama. And not only from the college side of things, the high school side of things as well. And very, very excited to dive into everything that we have on our coverage on ESPN 106.7. I heard you say it, talking with Coach Oz as well as Coach Etheridge here in hour number one. We get to dive into a little bit of those games in week one: Lee Scott and Glenwood, Auburn High and Hewitt Trustful. So very, very excited for that side of things. But yes, I mean, the age-old saying of you teach a man to fish and then he can pull audio. Correct.
Yes,
exactly.
You give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man how to fish, he eats for a lifetime.
You teach a man to fish and he can pull audio while you're in the studio next door. So
yeah,
there you go.
And we'll be able to play for that for you a little bit later from what Alex Gulish had to say following their scrimmage.
Yes, shout out Mr. Gerg over there in the wing studio. But happy everybody's here with us. Appreciate you for spending some time here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Trip mentioned it. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's a very, very hectic day, very chaotic day. It's one of those days that you realize, regardless of how much you've done for a deadline, our deadline being Friday, regardless of how much you've done, you realize there's always a lot more than you think.
Yes.
Whether that's prep, whether that is equipment, whether that is making sure that everything is where it needs to be, everything goes where it needs to go. That's been a lot of what today is, as well as some really, really cool stuff that we have coming for you in hour number two as well. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about that as we go along, but we take a trip up north to Florence, Alabama, to get a little insight on a team up there as a part of our look around the state. And so really, really excited to be able to have that content here for you again in hour number two, starting that deep dive into the look around the state from 3 to 3:30, and really excited for everything that's to continue to come with that, including here this afternoon. But you mentioned it. A lot of high school coverage here this afternoon.
Season gets kicked off tomorrow night. Not us,
yeah,
but I mean Central Thompson.
That would be what put me over the edge if that was the case. Because
I told Christian earlier, today feels like a Thursday.
It very, very much does. I woke up today and was like, holy cow, game day is tomorrow. No, thankfully not. We have a couple more hours in the day. Or not in the day, but until kickoff. And we'll be working up until kickoff. The phone lines are open at 3:30. I feel like maybe not even then. We'll probably close the phone lines all afternoon long just because of the amount of audio, the amount of interviews that we have for you here this afternoon. But if you want to be a part of today's show, we highly encourage you, highly recommend you to do so in the Send Medicine text box, which you can always be a part of at 334-784-1685. Again, that's 334-784-1OTL. The text box is brought to you by Send Medicine, because at Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more. You can find out all of the information, including becoming a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. Regardless of your stage of life, especially, again, with so many new people making their way back to the Plains, go check out senmedicine.com and figure out what is best for you. Send Medicine, again, SENNmedicine.com. He'll take care of you the same way that he takes care of us here on ESPN 106.7. And we don't have too much longer here in this first segment, because we do need to get the break, because head coach Jacob Osmond is going to be joining us right around 2:10 or so here on ESPN 106.7. But a little bit of a high school outlook for the Lee Scott Academy Warriors. It is a very different look for this Warrior squad, both in terms of what you're going to see on the field, with the field, what you're going to see around the field at Judd Scott. It looks absolutely incredible. I was up there late last night filming a bunch of content for the Jumbotron, filming some content for a little hype video for the Lee Scott Sports Network, as well as pregame. And so really, really excited. It's going to be hard for me to do the pregame show and the countdown to kickoff, because all of that stuff is going to be on the Jumbotron and everybody's going to be watching. And it's like, okay, I have to still do this one segment. Well, I have to focus on the starting lineups. I have to focus on the keys to the game or whatever the case may be. And so I'll toss that over to
Mr. Caleb Robertson.
Mr. Caleb Robertson, the host of the Lee Scott Academy pregame show. I don't know if we've been able to talk a lot about it, but our coverage on the Lee Scott Sports Network this fall will begin at 6 p.m. because first off, I freaking love what I do, and I love the school that I call it for. And there's so many unique stories that go around Lee Scott Academy that don't get shared by the day-to-day, and I want to be able to bring some access to that, especially with the amount of travel that Lee Scott Academy has this season. We know that, especially, again, for those road games, coverage is going to be very, very strong. And so we have interviews with other coaches throughout the fall sports. We have talking about everything that's going on around Lee Scott Academy, as well as senior spotlights, talking about and talking to players on the field, the cheerleaders, as well as members of the band, everything this fall. Really, really cool access that we've been able to get and that we're going to bring to you here on the Lee Scott Sports Network, whether that's over on AU100.3, AUHits.com, that Radio Alabama app. And so really, really excited for everything that's to come on that side of things. But Coach Jacob Osmond gets to lead this Warrior team out of the tunnel for the first time as the head coach. He's been on the sideline for many a games, many a seasons, but I know that this is going to be a very different, a very unique feeling for him. And I'll be able to talk to him here in a minute about hopefully letting that sink in a little bit. Hopefully he's able to look up and look around and see the support that not only Lee Scott Academy has, but that he has. There's nobody better to be running this program, and I can say that because he's one of the greatest human beings that you'll ever meet, and this is an opportunity for him that I know has been a long time coming. It's something that means a whole lot to him. It means a whole lot to his family, and so I am very, very honored to be able to use his passion and the players' passion on the field through a microphone on the air. And so really, really excited for everything like that. Lee Scott Academy and Glenwood, two bitter rivals from the AISA into the AHSAA, no longer region foes. Again, with the split in the 2A private, there is now a 2A North, there is a 2A South, and despite these schools only being 35 minutes max from one another, depending on the speed limit down 280. Certain places you can go a little bit faster. Certain places you definitely can't. But 35 minutes max. And so with these schools not being region foes, they said, no, no, no. We're still going to find a way to play this game. And you know what? What better way than make it week one? When we come back, head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Coach Jacob Osmond, going to sit down, take some time to join us and talk about this season, talk about this team, talk about the offseason. All of that's coming up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on ESPN 106.7, the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin here with you, and it's finally here. An entire offseason of talking about it, preparing for it, counting down the days, and week one of the high school football season has finally arrived. And there may not be a better way to get the Wednesday edition of On the Line started than on Friday night. Lee Scott Academy opens up the 2026 season right here at Judd Scott Field, and there is certainly no easing into this one. Lee Scott and Glenwood, a bitter rivalry, two programs that know each other extremely well. And this year, the latest chapter also marks the beginning of a new era, not only for these two schools, but also in the AHSAA. Back in June, Lee Scott Academy named defensive coordinator Jacob Osmond the interim head coach for the 2026 season. Coach Oz has spent the last 6 years with the Warriors and has been a major part of those championship winning runs before being handed the keys to the program here this summer. And now the offseason is officially over and game week is here. And Friday nights, for the very first time, he will lead the Lee Scott Warriors onto Judd Scott Field as their head coach. So before anything else, here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, wanted to start right there. Coach Jacob Osmond joining us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Coach, we greatly appreciate your time. I know that this has been something a long time coming, and I know that this is something that means so much to you, and I know that we've had a lot of conversations off the record, off the air, but wanted to officially be able to congratulate you yet again and ask the very first question of, has it settled in quite yet?
Yeah, it's definitely settled in, man. I appreciate you having me on. But yeah, I think we've kind of settled in now. We've got our bearings and I think we got the plane leveled off a little bit now.
Well, Coach, again, we talked a couple of months ago, and it still felt like this Friday was a long week away, at least for me, maybe not for you, knowing everything that still needed to be taken care of. But now that it is game week, Glenwood making their way to Judd Scott Field. We'll get to the Gators here in just a little bit. But you're about to lead this program, as I mentioned, onto the field for the very first time as its head coach. Has there been a moment so far this season where it's really hit you of, okay, this is my football team, this is how we need to handle things?
You know, kind of, it really, really after kind of the interview with you, the one we had back in the summer was really kind of the moment where it kind of settles in a little bit and you realize that it's time to lead, but it's also time to trust the people that are around you and, you know, value and actually utilize input, from everybody around you, because it definitely can't be a one man show. It would not be possible without every single individual that is contributing to the program, and especially my family at home. We're definitely out of the honeymoon stage, to say the least. So we're very excited to get to go out really for the second time ever, first time as a game out onto Judd Scott Field with what I think is the greatest playing surface in the state.
Man, I tell you what, we were able to look at that on Friday night for the intramural scrimmage. I've been out there late the past couple of nights filming some content for the Jumbotron and for a little bit of a hype video and everything, and being able to look at it's state of the art. It is absolutely incredible. Between that and the Jumbotron, you mentioned it, I mean, this is one of the state of the art, this is one of the premier places now for high school football in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, for sure. Incredibly grateful for our administration, our boosters, our donors, for really just investing in our student athletes. Pumped that our soccer program gets to use it also. It really is a massive blessing and an honor to get to be able to play at a place like that on Friday nights.
Head coach Jacob Osmond with us on the phone lines. And coach, you've been at Lee Scott for more than a handful of years. You mentioned the honeymoon stage already being done for the head coach. I think I could say the same thing from the defensive coordinator standpoint as well. You're not necessarily walking into a program or a locker room that you don't know, but what's been different about seeing everything now wearing that head coaching hat? What do you feel needed your attention when you first took over?
Well, you know, when Coach Daniel, took his opportunity with the state, coach was our offensive line coach and he was our special teams coordinator. So, you know, immediately, you know, not necessarily that it needed attention, but it demanded attention. Those were the two areas where we felt like we really had to devote a lot of attention. So, having the incredible, asset that Coach Speakman is on the defensive side of the ball, being able to really turn that over to him, giving me some time to free up to go help out with Coach Wade on the offensive side, in the past few years and, devote some time towards special teams that Coach Daniel was typically in that role doing while still obviously still helping out with the defensive side. So really just kind of just spread myself out a little bit more where I've got my hands in a few other areas where instead of it just being one side of the ball for sure.
You've had the entire offseason now, as you mentioned, to really challenge these guys and learn a lot about this team. You feel as if every single team is different. It has its own little identity. And so what's been the biggest thing so far that you've asked this team to maybe become? And what have you learned about this group along the way that maybe you didn't know about them when the summer started?
Yeah, man, the acronym for us this entire summer has been to win. And we just told our guys that it means we've got to do whatever is necessary. Winning obviously is determined by that scoreboard on Friday nights when the horn goes off. But, winning takes place long before that. And we try to instill in our guys that means we've got to do whatever is necessary. And I even had one of our seniors send me a text a couple weeks ago. And he said, you know, it's not only whatever is necessary, but it's whenever it's needed. So really just instilling in our guys that we've got to do whatever is necessary whenever it's needed to win every rep, whether that is in the racks in the weight room, whether that's as sons, whether that is followers of Christ, whatever that might be, we've got to do whatever's necessary. And then we just stack up micro wins and ultimately hope that gives us the best opportunity on Fridays to actually have a winning victory that is on the scoreboard.
That was one of the biggest things that you mentioned when we first talked after getting that head coaching tag of winning in the classroom, winning in the weight room, winning on the practice field and in daily life, because those habits lead to success on Friday nights, which you're referring to. What have you seen behind the scenes that makes you believe that this group can be ready to put those habits on display on a Friday night, where, as you mentioned, the scoreboard ultimately declares what everything's going to look like, but stacking some of those mini wins, what have those habits looked like in the offseason?
And we've got an incredible group of guys that have just bought in. And not that we lacked buy-in by any means, compared to previous years,
sure.
But they really, they dealt with transition well, and they've bought into the idea of it can't just be a macroscopic view of success that life doesn't, that it doesn't work out that way, that a lot of times we are measured on our larger scale wins. But in order to be successful, we've got to implement the daily strategies of doing whatever's necessary. Like you said, you know, whether there's students in the classroom, we can't say we're going to do one thing and then act in another way. So they've done an incredible job down to making sure each other has their shirt tails tucked in going to class, making sure that their faces are shaved. I've got kids walking in the hallway passing a razor around because that's just what our school policy is. So They're doing an incredible job of focusing on the small things that we've asked them to do, and that they're holding each other accountable. I think that's really all you can ask, especially when you're trying to continue to develop a culture, especially when you've got a team that's really young, that's incredibly green in terms of playing experience in a lot of positions. So I think that's something that we can build on for years to come.
We got the head man, Coach Jacob Osment, joining us here on the phone lines on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And Coach, part of seeing how a team responds to different situations is seeing the adversity, because it's something that you don't necessarily get as much on the practice field until you really see somebody in a different color jersey and you get popped in the mouth. What is it about this team that you think can handle that success? But also, what are you excited to see how your team responds to that adversity come Friday night in game one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna sing the same song that a lot of small school coaches will say, and it's hard to get good on good, and it's not necessarily, you know, that your scout team guys are bad at football or they're younger. It's just that real in-game speed is very hard to simulate in practice, and I'm sure even a larger school with more bodies will say the same thing. It's really hard to get the in-game look. So just giving our guys as many opportunities in practice, you know, a lot of them, they kind of joke with me that a lot of times I'm into the mental warfare side of things where we go extra reps, or we may go longer than what was on the script, or we may have a quick change in something, but just trying our best to have our guys prepared for anything that could be a quick change. And again, not just are they physically able to handle that, but can they mentally handle something that may be going against what was scripted, or you know, something that goes the wrong way, or you've got an untimely injury. Is the third guy in line ready to go be the backup now? Because those are the kind of things that get you exposed quickly. And I think that's one thing all of our coaches have done a great job with, especially in the preseason, is really, you know, driving home the urgency of being ready, just constantly being ready, just we're focused on it. It's not just I'll pay attention when my number's called, but we're ready when the opportunity presents itself.
And Coach, knowing you, knowing how you run things, of course, it couldn't be a nice, quiet opener. You get the Glenwood Gators, a program that I would say the Lee Scott Warriors know quite well and know just about everything about. But these programs are continuing to take different steps of their career, their program, their history, from the AISA to the AHSA, and now to the new wrinkle, the new development of what AHSAA football is going to look like into a private. What does this add to week one for this team, if at any? And is this part of the challenge, making sure that your guys understand this rivalry without necessarily making the commitment or the comments, the moments, bigger than it needs to be?
For sure. Coach Wade has been such a great mentor for me. And one thing he's told our guys consistently since we've been together is that Glenwood brings the best out in our guys. They are aware that is a rivalry game. They are aware of all of the things that come with this being such an important game. And so our guys aren't going to be, you know, caught off guard or surprised. And Coach Nelson does an incredible job over there with his guys. It's going to be a really great, great football game Friday night. I'm looking forward to the challenge. You know, what better way to open up a new field with all the new things than to really give our guys a challenge early on to really check our oil and see where we are heading into a schedule that will be, you know, very challenging between travel and between opponents and all of the things. But I'm really, really excited for our guys. And I've told them 1,000 times that I could not want them to have a better Friday night. It's not possible. I'm incredibly, incredibly excited for that opportunity for our guys.
Coach Jacob Osment here with us on the phone lines on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. And Coach, week one isn't always about perfect football. When it comes down to the tackling or protecting the football or avoiding that costly mistake in the fourth quarter, how much preparation has been emphasized on the winning areas that don't necessarily get highlighted when you look at it week by week Friday nights?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing we've done this summer is we've worked on us. We've got to make sure that we've got all of our stuff sound, and it doesn't come down to, you know, grab bags and tricks and gimmicky stuff. It comes down to what your identity is, and I think that's the biggest thing that you can establish week one, because there's going to be hiccups and there's going to be, you know, pivotal moments where things change and somebody may take the ball away or somebody may put the ball on the ground. But ultimately, you find out what's in the well that you've been digging when it comes up. And so just the big emphasis of you know, how are we going to respond, you know, when something goes our way or something doesn't go our way? Either way, how do we handle quick change or sudden change? And then making sure, too, that that we trust our identity in how we're going to play our style of football and not allowing an opponent or a new field or a new league, new season, new region, not allow any of the outside uncontrollables cause us to stumble and cause us to lose focus of the things that we can control.
Sure. And, Coach, you've been on this Lee Scott sideline for plenty of Friday nights. Final question, but before we let you get out of here, this is one that's going to be a little bit different. This is one that's going to be very special for you, for your family, for all of Lee Scott Academy. Have you allowed yourself to think about what that's going to feel like, whether that's running out onto the sideline, being able to hopefully soak in the moment just a little bit, and then when you get your team together before they run out onto the field, that final time before we get warmups, before kickoff, what do you want them to understand about the opportunity that's in front of them?
Man, I got to go teach kids in a few minutes after this interview, and they're going to ask me why my eyes are all red. I love Lee Scott, and I love these kids. I really do. And I'm just incredibly grateful for the opportunity that they've trusted me with. And I want them to know that don't blink. We're going to enjoy every second of it. We'll look around for a second or two and take it all in, and then it's time to strap it up and go play big boy football.
Let's do it, baby. Let's do it. Lee Scott Academy taking on the Glenwood Gators Friday night. Pregame will start at 6 p.m. rather than 6:30. Doing the deep dive, the full hour of pregame here on the Lee Scott Sports Network. AU 100.3, auhits.com, that Radio Alabama app, as well as streaming live on the YouTube and the Facebook page as well. Coach Jacob Osmond taking some time to join us here this afternoon. Coach, greatly, greatly appreciate your time. I can tell you that I'm fired up more than just about everybody, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because you mentioned getting the chin straps popping. Man, as soon as I get a microphone in front of my face looking down at Judd Scott Field, I'm going to get tears in my eyes. I'm going to get chilled up, because this is such an absolutely cool moment, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to be a part of everything that Lee Scott is, everything that you're doing for this Warrior program. We look forward to Friday nights and talking to you again next week.
Hey, brother, we can't do it without you. You make us a whole lot better. So we're just incredibly grateful for what you do for us and for our students, man.
Coach Jacob Osmond taking some time to join us, I'm sure, on a very Wednesday afternoon here for him, getting ready for the Lee Scott Warriors and the Glenwood Gators. And we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll flip to the other side of town, make our way up to the 6A classification as Tripp sits down with the head man, Keith Etheridge, previewing Auburn High and Hewitt Trustful. All of that coming up here in hour number one on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
On the Line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. You just heard from Christian Griffin talking with Lee Scott Warrior interim head coach Mr. Jacob Osmond as the Warriors take on the Glenwood Gators. You'll be able to hear Christian and Caleb on AU 100.3, but we head on up to 6A. We head down East University Drive to Duck Sanford Stadium in the home of one of the best teams in East Alabama, the Auburn High Tigers. And we speak with the head man of those Tigers, Coach Keith Etheridge. Coach, hope you're doing well. And does it feel real that we play football on Friday night under the lights?
Thank goodness. I'm so ready, man. I've been waiting for this for a long time. It just seems like yesterday that we got put out in the semifinals. And I said, I got to get this bad taste out of my mouth.
Yes, sir. Looking back at last season, you finished second in that region two, only second runner up to the Phoenix City Red Devils. And then you're able to get two playoff wins under your belt. You get revenge against a Vestavia Hills team that you fell to earlier in the season. You go down to Daphne and beat a very underrated Daphne offense. But then you fall to Opelika in the semifinals. You said it left a bad taste in your mouth. What did you learn from the postseason last year that you're going to put into place this season?
You just got to stay healthy. You know, a lot of it has to do with staying healthy and just not turning the ball over. And you know, we gave up points off of special teams, you know, in that game. And, you know, turned the ball over, gave points up off of two turnovers. So, you know, you can't do those things in the semifinals and expect to play for a state championship. So, you know, we just, like I said, you know, we didn't play our best game, you know, and a lot of that had to do with Opelika. So we, you know, we just, like I said, we got a little sour taste in our mouth. So we just wanted to get back out there and, you know, what better way to do it than to go to Duck and play another top 10 team to open the season. So we're just excited to get to play again.
Right, Coach. And you look at kind of around this region here with new coaches at Phoenix City, new head coach at Opelika with the Bulldogs. Talk to me a little bit about what challenges or what positive those bring for you as a head coach.
Well, it's good and bad. You know, they hired two really good coaches. I mean, Coach Flournoy at Central and JD at Opelika. So, I mean, JC at Opelika, you know, we just, you know, both those are really good football coaches who have won other places where they've been, just class guys. So, you know, but it's a lot different in this region. You know, I think football's football, but, you know, you see so many great players week in, week out in this region. And, you know, I think a lot of times you don't know how good all the teams in this region are until you actually got to line up on Friday night and play them week in, week out.
We're talking with the head man of the Auburn High Tigers, Mr. Coach Keith Etheridge. And, Coach, switching gears now, looking towards this season, and you have a lot of new players at new positions. Specifically, I want to talk about this wide receiver room. In the conversations both we've had on air, off air, in our previews and such, you've talked about what guys can step up and be leaders in a room where you lose a little bit, but you have a lot of talent there. Talk to the people in Auburn Opelika and on our program about what you're expecting out of that group.
It's an explosive group, man. You got Quez Johnson, you got Elias Holtzclaw, you got Stephen Payne, you got AJ Turbo. You got Big Hampton, you got, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys in there that can make plays and a lot of guys who Whit Young's another kid that you're going to hear a lot about. I could go on and on. Tate is another kid that you'll hear a lot about. So we've got a lot of guys in those positions that can make plays, not only, you know, go up and get the ball and make plays, but make plays after the catch, you know. They are when they make a catch, they can turn it into 6 points if you're not on them, you know. So that's always really good to have, you know. We got some length there too, which we haven't had a lot of that in the past. You know, we've had, you know, a lot of smaller, quicker guys. You know, this group has some length to them, and I know Kaysen's excited to throw to these guys.
Yeah, speaking of Kaysen, the senior leader of this team, a Arkansas Razorback commit, talk to me about not only what kind of player he is, but talk to me about the kind of young man that Kaysen Myers is, both on and off the field.
Yeah, Kaysen's a class act. You know, he's worked really, really hard. He's gotten tremendously better, I feel like, you know, doing a really good job of reading defenses, doing some things that, you know, we've worked on throughout the summer. You know, Coach Cheney's done a really good job with him, our quarterback's coach. So, you know, we're really excited about Kaysen and to see him progress and just continue to get better.
And another big part of what you guys do as an Auburn High Tiger football program is that blue-collar mentality. And nowhere is it more evident than Coach Scott Goolsbee's defense, a unit last season that was the best statistical defense in Alabama. Talk to me a little bit about what you're expecting with some of these newcomers in the secondary at the defensive line that Auburn fans are going to become massive fans of the next couple years.
Yeah, well, you know, you got some guys back, and I didn't even mention J.J. King, who's a returning running back, one of our returning running backs. He's really, really good. He's coming back. You know, he was one of our leading rushers from the running back position, and he's coming back. But on the defensive side, in our secondary, you got, you know, Tez Cook will be back, one of the corners. Then, you know, on the other side, you got DJ, who's DeMarcus Van Dyke Jr., Coach Van Dyke, the cornerback's coach at Auburn University. DJ will be a sophomore, but he's 6'4", you know, playing corner. He's got some really good length. He's got offers to Georgia, you know, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Miami, you know, as a 10th grader, you know. So I'm really excited to see him. Ryan Donaldson, Logan Sirico, Michael Oliver, all those names you'll hear in our secondary. You'll hear Cam Bowen. You'll hear his name in the secondary and out of that strong safety position. So really excited about those guys. And at linebacker, you got Carter Chambly. You'll hear Tank's name. We call him Tank. you'll hear Zay Fulton. You'll hear Quay Woods. You'll hear a lot of those names at those linebacker positions. And then up front, you know, you got Eli Scott. You also have Colin King, who is looking to have a big year this year. A kid that, you know, you're going to see making a lot of plays, Dexter Murphy. You know, I think that he's going to be huge for us this year. You're also going to, you know, hear about Wake Wages. I mean, there's so many on that defensive side that, you know, especially on that defensive front, we're going to have 7-8 guys play. James Harris is a young guy. Moses is a young guy. So I think that, you know, all those guys are going to contribute. And then you got a couple other guys who are juniors that are going to have, I think, step in and have some big years also.
We're talking with the head man of the Auburn High Tigers, Coach Keith Etheridge. And Coach, looking at special teams, a unit that can decide ball games for legitimately every team. You lose Joseph Daniel. He's now kicking in Nashville for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Kind of who's the next man up there, and who are some guys that are going to be impact players on special teams that we need to be aware of?
Well, we got one of the top two kickers in the nation in that 10th grade class. Andrew Fleagle, he may be the best in the nation in that 10th grade class. He kicked a 57-yard field goal last year in a JV game to win the game.
Wow.
In the game. He's a kid that's going to kick it in the end zone. He's on kickoffs. You know, you also got Zane Ariami, who's going to be a senior. He's a kid that is also solid back there. I mean, we've got a good group of kickers. We're still working on the snaps and the holding and all that stuff, but there's some guys who are really competing for those positions who are doing really good. So, you know, I think it can be a strength for us. A lot of unproven guys, though. So it's one of them situations where, you know, we had to replace a little bit. But I think those guys are stepping in there, and they're going to do a really good job. And I think by second or third ball game, it's going to be one of our strengths.
Coach, you lose some players to college football. Carnell Jackson heading to Kansas State. You have Cam Creighton, another guy graduating playing, as well as the aforementioned Joseph Daniels. Talk to me a little bit about those guys and how excited you are that they're able to continue their football career at the next level.
I'm super excited for those guys. You know, you got Greg's going on to play at Samford. You got Aiden, who's at Coastal Carolina. you got, like you said, Kansas State is where CJ's at, and Vandy where Joe's at. There's a lot of guys who went on to play college football out of that group last year, and just really excited for them and ready to see them play on Saturdays. You know, I'm ready for them to kick off and get to go watch some of them play. And, you know, you got former players like Braden Joyner, who will be in the Florida State uniform this year, be starting for center at Florida State. Drew Bobo, who's the starting center at Georgia. You know, so we got Mike, who will be a corner, starting probably a starting corner for Liberty. Pitts, who will be a D end at App State. So we got guys all over the place. Georgia Southern's got Peyton Plott, who's going to be one of the most electric kick returners probably in the nation this year, and play some receiver too. So, you know, it's nice when you can turn on the TV, watch a game, and see guys that play for you out there, you know, making plays on Saturday.
For sure, Coach. Switching gears, looking at Friday, the Hewitt Trustful Huskies coming to town. This was a club that was top three out of that brutal Birmingham region last season, and I believe they finished second. They lost to Opelika in the opening round. What do you expect from Hewitt Trustful, and what do you hope that they do to make you adapt and learn a little bit more about your team?
Well, you know, I think that they're gonna, you know, it's gonna be a great football game. They're gonna be well coached. They're gonna work hard. You know, I'm looking for some guys to step up. You know, the guy I'm really excited to see, you know, on that defensive front, I'm ready to see Kylan Ross get in there and get him some playing time. See him move around in there and make some plays. I think Hewitt, you know, they're multiple. They like throw it. They can run it. They got a quarterback who's really savvy. He's the coach's son. He's the head coach's son. So really smart young man who makes really good decisions. And he can pull it down and run it, or he can throw it. You know, they got some weapons on the outside. Guys who can take it to the house. Running backs, you know, really, really good. He finds small creases. You know, you don't get him for loss many times. He's got strong lean, and you know, he does a good job of falling forward and making something out of nothing. So we got to be ready defensively, and you know, I think that offensively, they like to do multiple things. They base out of a three-man front, but they'll bring, you know, they'll line up and be three-man front and bring seven guys. You know, you got to be ready for anything with them. Their defense coordinator, Coach Talsman, does a really good job. So we just, you know, we got to be ready for anything. And I think our coaches have instilled that in our guys. And I think our guys are fired up, just ready to play on Friday.
Coach, one last question before we get you out of here. Fill in the blank for me real quickly. Auburn High School beats Hewitt Trustful if they blank.
If they're more physical. You know, we've got to be more physical. We've got to be flying to the football on defense. We got to come off the ball on offense and establish the line of scrimmage. We got to run downhill, you know, when we get the ball in our hands. We got to, you know, be more physical on both sides of the football. Eliminate turnovers, make sure that we don't get pre-snap penalties, you know, I mean, just the little things. And effort and attitude, you know, we talk about those two things every single day. You know, play with relentless effort and have a great attitude, be a great teammate. So I think those are the things we need to do, and not only this Friday night, but every Friday night. You know, I think that's what it takes in this 6A ball, and that's what it's going to take in this region if we expect to be one of those playoff teams.
Coach Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers. Coach, appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man getting ready for Toe Meets Leather at Duck Sanford Stadium on Saturday night.
I appreciate your trip. Thank y'all for what y'all do for high school football. Go Tigers, and God bless.
Yes, sir. Coach Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers. You can tune in and listen live here on Wings 94.3. with the Auburn High Sports Network. Jack Hutton, voice of the Auburn High Tigers, Rob Pate, and myself. Join him there. Pre-game show starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7 from Duck Sanford Stadium between the Tigers and the Huskies. We're going to take a break and come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Man, what great high school coverage in hour number one. Jacob Osment of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers, each giving their individual perspectives on their respective teams as we continue to count you down to Friday nights here in Auburn, Alabama. Man, we are so, so excited for everything that's to come on the high school coverage side of things as well as the college coverage side of things as well. Real quick shout out before the music kicks us out of here and we talk about what's going on in hour number two. For those that are invested in the Little League World Series, Alabama just kicked off. They're in the home half of the third. It was just 0-0. We just turned it back on. But the Phoenix City team taking on Washington at the Little League World Series right now. And so you can feel free to turn over to ESPN. Just watch it on mute, and we'll just tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, no, he's got the ice cream cone bat, I see, which is just popular among the kids these days. I say that as if I'm not 20-something, but
what a snag by the third baseman. Yeah. Pitcher's duel so far in that
contest. And you know what is more impressive about these two teams? They didn't need a court order to get in. They got on merit alone.
Boom.
Take that, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Boom.
That actually was an absolute web gem right there.
Just win the games that you're supposed to win.
It's really not that hard.
It's really a simple, simple game. In hour number two, again, we've talked about it. Our deep dive, our look around the state. And we start hour number two with a deep dive into the Lions of North Alabama.
Yes, Florence's own. We head up to the Shoals and talk with Coach Brent Dearborn of the Lions.
And Coach Dearman, yeah.
Dearman, yes. Dearborn. I'm thinking of Buckhorn, which is also a high school in North Alabama. So I kind of mix the two. I've been trying not to because I see B. But yes, Coach Dearman is going to be joining us, and we're going to be able to talk to him about everything going on in the UAC, everything going on with their new stadium that they are going to be opening up on campus this year, and one of the FCS's newest football teams in the Lions. We're excited to continue this and continue the coverage of these teams.
Yeah, again, it's the best way to go about it. The pride in the state of Alabama when it comes to the gridiron needs to be covered. It needs to have our coverage on it, and that's what we're going to bring you. A little deep dive into the roster to get our new number two started before the head coach, Brent Dearman of the UNA Lions, joins us on the phone lines. All of that's coming up here in hour number two.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Our weekly deep dive into another state within the state of Alabama, and we make our way north to Florence.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Another hot day in the Auburn Opelika area, as is the content here on this Wednesday afternoon. All of hour number one dominated by our high school coverage, Lee Scott Academy with Coach Jacob Osment, Auburn High School with head coach Keith Etheridge. Very, very excited to kick things off here in just a couple of days. What are we, 2 days and just under 4 hours until toe meets leather at the Duck and at Judd Scott Field. And so very, very excited to continue that high school coverage and get back in the broadcast booth at our respective spots as well. A lot of that was in hour number one. Again, if you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out over at our podcast center at ESPNAU.com, where we continue to load up all of the episodes, continue to load up the content. So definitely recommend everybody to go make their way over there to, again, ESPNAU.com.
Yes, and in hour number two, we're going to talk about what Alex Golish had to say today from the second scrimmage that they had. We were able to go to the media availability. We'll have some audio to be able to play for you there on that side of things. But before that, we continue on this new series of deep diving into every school in the state of Alabama, looking at both the FBS, the G6, the FCS level, all of the above. And that continues with the North Alabama Lions, one of the newest teams in Division I, only joining the FCS about 3 years ago. And we sit down with the head man for the Lions, Coach Brent Dierman. He is going to be able to take us through what this schedule looks like, what his team looks like, and everything going on in Florence, Alabama this year. So you're not going to want to miss that at all. Phone lines will unfortunately be closed probably for the afternoon, just with all the audio that we're going to be having to play. But the Send Medicine text box is always open 24/7 at 334-784-1685. And the text box is brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get some great things from Dr. Eric Sand. You get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20 plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N medicine.com. And Christian, the Lions from Florence, Alabama, the UNA Lions.
Yes, yeah, before we dive into any content,
sorry,
I was trying to get your mind up so I could see that. But before we dive into content, I do want to remind everybody that Friday afternoon show, we are going to be celebrating it at Winter Timber Outdoors on East University, right across from the neighborhood Walmart. Our buddy Brody Thomas is going to tell us why Tennessee is going to win 11 games this season and why there won't be anybody that can say anything otherwise. But very excited to be celebrating their one-year anniversary. It's wild that it's only been a year, because it feels like it's been so much more than that, but also feels like it's crazy to think that it's already been a year since we were out there for their grand opening. And so I know that they are continuing to do some wonderful stuff. So come out there and join us Friday from 2 to 6. On the Line and The Drive will be out there. Free food. There's giveaways on Friday and Saturday as well. So you need to make your way out there all throughout the weekend to grab all of your hunting gear, all of your fishing gear, anything that you need. Winter Timber Outdoors is the place that you need to go. But yes, this North Alabama squad is one that is a very interesting story, because you bring back some of the big time talents that made a big impact last year, but there's a lot of fresh faces on this squad. There's a lot of new bodies that are being kind of molded into this Coach Dierman system, and we'll be able to ask him some questions about what it's going to look like from the standpoint of a lot of the guys that have played a lot of football. You've had a lot of guys that transferred in from this program, but then also the recruiting, and you see when looking through this roster how many kids are from the state of Alabama, how many kids are from pretty close by to Florence, to Huntsville, whatever the case may be, to even Montgomery. But you see how hard the state of Alabama gets hit in terms of recruiting. It's a team that, again, you mentioned it, dominated their leagues previously, making their way up to the FCS level, and is in a very, very competitive FCS league right now that, they're trying to make a little bit of noise. They're trying to get back to that spot that they're used to. And, again, a new a new facility or a new stadium might be the first to help with that from the D2 level, showing that they're a powerhouse in the D1 level.
Yeah, looking at this this schedule, I have to admit, pound for pound, this might be one of the greatest like nickname schedules that I've ever seen.
There's also, when you're looking at the colors, a lot of purple.
A lot of purple. I love that.
I love it.
You look. You have the Razorbacks. You have the Western Illinois Leathernecks, the Eastern Kentucky Colonels, the Austin Peay Governors, the West Florida Argonauts, the Tarleton State Texans. Just before you even talk about the team, that schedule is such a great like nickname schedule right there. I mean, the Lions fit in with this UAC team. They also take on teams like Samford. We obviously talked about that in Joe Davis Stadium in Huntsville, Southeastern Louisiana, a team that we're going to be able to talk about a little bit more with South Alabama kicking the season off against the Lions there. Alcorn State, Abilene Christian, Central Arkansas, West Georgia, just over in Carrollton. Close to here, but I'm really excited to talk to Coach about some of these players. You return Destin Wade, a guy that I'm really high on, who was banged up a little bit last year, threw for, he threw for 10 touchdowns, threw about for 132 yards a game there, and about just over 1,000 rushing attempts. I mean, this is a team that likes to run the football. They had 2,300 rushing yards and 22 rushing touchdowns, so expect to see a lot in the running game, Christian.
Yeah, really excited to see these first 2 weeks because this team's going to make history, and being able to talk with a bunch of their guys from the SID department and the athletic department and getting their kind of their overall media guide, as well as some of these big time notes that we're able to ask. Samford, again, at Joe Davis Stadium in Huntsville, Alabama. This is going to be the first ever college football game that's played there.
Really?
So the fact that you get that with two in-state schools as well, a rivalry possibly forming right there. And then the very next week, you go to Fayetteville, Arkansas on SEC Network, 3:15 at Arkansas, which is going to be a really, really fun opportunity for these guys that are, everybody grows up in the South, loves the SEC, the ability to go play in an SEC stadium like that. And
yeah,
you never know. I mean,
it's the kickoff the season for Arkansas, new head coach, new quarterback. I mean, maybe we would be Coach Dierman's good luck charm that we need to interview him every week. I'm just putting it out there. If that happens, awesome.
We'll let Coach know that if he upsets the Razorbacks, he's going to make weekly appearances, because again, this is a guy that has ties to the Auburn Tigers, was here in 2013 and 2014. And so, very interested to see. I know that you mentioned running the football. Interested to see, and we'll have to ask him about the Gus Malzahn type of offense to see what that possibly looks like, if he was formed by that, because some of the names that he coached with and coached under are some names that in college football I think you're going to know quite well. So let's take an early break. Let's go ahead and get the man on the phone lines. Mr. Brent Dierman, the head coach of the North Alabama Lions, joins us on the phone lines to talk all things Lions football, all things in the northern parts of the state when we come back.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for taking some time to be here with us. He is Tripp Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And here to start our number two, we've been teasing it for quite some time and really looking forward to getting this coverage amped back up. It's time to take a look around the state, because while so much football conversation goes around the state of Alabama, centered around Auburn and Alabama, the game in this state is so much bigger than that. The programs worth following, the players worth knowing, the coaches doing tremendous work, and some really, really good football being played across the state. It's an exciting time to check on what's happening in Florence, Alabama. The North Alabama Lions getting ready for a season that will usher in a whole new era for the football program, a new campus on home, a week zero matchup that we'll be able to dive into. So what better way to head north than to talk with University of North Alabama head football coach Brent Dierman joining us on the line. Coach, we appreciate your time for taking some time here this afternoon to give us some insight into your program.
No problem, guys. Thank you for featuring our guys and putting the spotlight on our program.
Yes, sir. Well, Coach, I know that you are an Alabama guy. You've coached here at the high school level in the state. You were at Auburn as well, and now entering your fourth season here leading this North Alabama team. Having experienced this football at so many different levels, what is it that makes football in the state of Alabama different?
You know, I think just the SEC in general, the Southeastern Conference footprint, football is just it you know, their slogans, it means more. And growing up in the South, my dad was a high school football coach. My dad was also a deacon in my church growing up. So the households in the South are just centered around God, family, and football. And the state of Alabama does a great job of putting those three things at the center of every home usually.
And we obviously spend a lot of time down here on ESPN 106.7 talking about Auburn, talking about Alabama. But one of the biggest reasons we wanted to start our look around the state is because of that football that works its way across the South, that works its way across the Yellowhammer State. And so when you look at this North Alabama football program right now, what is it that you wish more football fans around the state knew about this Lions team?
You know, you're looking at a program that made the jump from being a dominant D2 powerhouse to the Division I, the FCS level, just about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And the transition is about to become completely complete now with the on-campus stadium. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I remember back in my days playing at Ladd Stadium when I was a high school football player in Mobile.
Yeah.
You think to the Montgomery area where the high school shared the Crampton Bowl. But when you get to have something that's your own, when you get to call some place your home place on campus, I think that's what's going to take the D2 mindset to North Alabama football being a Division I powerhouse program that it's going to elevate and be these upcoming years. So really excited about the direction that the program is headed. But it's going to get capped off this year with the on-campus stadium.
Coach, you are an offensive guy. You were an offensive coordinator at a couple places. You were under head coaches such as Les Miles, Willie Taggart, that have names that college football fans know very well. What do you like to do on offense that breeds success for your team?
You know, I was with Coach Malzahn for 2 years, and a lot of the things that I've been able to kind of develop as my own philosophy came from the offense that Coach ran there at Auburn. You know, I had two great years there, and the Nick Marshall era years of the quarterback run game has really molded me into who I have become. And Coach Malzahn, I talked to Coach Malzahn about once a month. I talked to Chip Lindsey yesterday. You know, Chip's son is a quarterback on our football team, so my roots in the coach's system is really at my core who I want to be. I've stepped away this season from offensive play calling, but I still am helping our offensive coordinator, and we are an 11 personnel base. We want to run the football. We're going to get some eye candy, like you know, at Augusta Systems, but I attribute a lot of what I do to Coach Malzahn.
Coach, you're entering year four now, as we mentioned, with the Lions, and you've had some really big moments during this build to show what the program can be, beating a top 10 Abilene Christian for UNA's first ranked FCS win, also taking national runner-up Illinois State to double overtime on the road last season. When you compare what this program and what this group looked like prior to your arrival, what is it that you've noticed this North Alabama team growing the most, and how important can moments like that being last year and showing what the ceiling can be for the players?
You know, we've had growth. Another stat here that I'm really fired up about: we've had two straight years of the highest GPAs in football history. So our kids are winning off the field as well. We've faced a lot of adversity. We have been through some big moments. Beat a playoff team in Chattanooga my first year. Like you said, we beat ranked Abilene Christian 2 years ago. We got the national spotlight 3 years ago with the Florida State game of having a lead at Florida State when they were ranked number three in the nation on big time TV. So there's been some highs. We're also coming off a year that we had three overtime losses. So there's still greater heights to be had. We've got to understand how to finish a little bit better. So I like the adversity this team has faced and went through. Now we've got to understand how to overcome those situations, finish the games out.
Coach, I want to ask you about your signal caller, the quarterback, Destin Wade. had been at Kentucky and Colorado before ending his way up with the Lions. Talk about the leadership that you've seen from year one now to year two, and talk to me about what he brings to your offense.
You know, Destin's a kid that was a high school phenom in the state of Tennessee, him and his twin brother. So in high school, he had a ton of confidence. He was the guy, played a lot of snaps. Then he goes to Kentucky. I think he started one game, started a bowl game for them at Kentucky. Then goes to Colorado and didn't play any there as well. So I think through those two schools, he kind of lost a little bit of his swagger. He lost a little bit of that leadership quality of being the guy. And we've kind of challenged him. Even last year, he didn't start the season for us as the guy. He stepped into that role and did a great job. Was a starter for two. Won two games for us before getting injured, missing the latter half of the season. This offseason, you've really seen him mentally step back into that confidence leader role that he was as a high school senior. So I'm excited of where he's heading. I've kind of challenged him every day that he can't go back and be that silent lead by action guy. He's got to speak up. He's got to talk more. He's got to show that confidence. And he's a runner. I mean, he's a quarterback that can run the football, and that's a deadly weapon that we have. We've got to protect him and take care of him, not ask him to take too many hits, but he's electric with the ball in his hands.
And that starts with guys like Colin Wright. You mentioned in the protection, being able to throw it out to KJ Fields, as well as we have head coach Brent Dierman with us on the phone lines, the head coach of the North Alabama Lions. And coach, again, greatly appreciate your time. We mentioned guys like Colin Wright, guys like KJ Fields back as senior starters on the offensive side of the football. Yet you have so many new faces that you're going to implement that offense around as well. How important is it to have those veteran guys that have been there in this type of system, establishing what you expect on your offensive side of the football?
You know, I think it's a good feeling of guys knowing that guys have played at this level, that they can give others in the room a little bit of knowledge of what this level is like. So you look in the room and there's transfers from the SEC, there's transfers from Memphis, there's transfers from a lot of Division I programs, but then we've also got some guys that we've got a D3 receiver that was an All-American D3 guy. We've got a few D2 kids, so those returners can really give guys heads up on what our league and what FCS football is really like. They've done a good job of kind of bringing guys in and teaching them about North Alabama, teaching them about the Shoals area. So that the consistent faces have really wrapped their arms around guys and brought them along, but getting them ready for what's to come.
Being able to talk about the offensive side of the football, you mentioned your background. Also, Coach Partridge taking over the play calling, you mentioned it. But Clint Bowen, especially as well, defensively, as well as adding Javonte Moffatt as well, one of the coaches coaching the safeties after a five-year NFL career. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to continuing to add with this staff and continuing to implement on the defensive side of the football? And how have those backgrounds from those individuals brought to your players in this program?
You know, last year we were one of the worst defenses in FCS football. We were had a pretty decent offense, but we couldn't stop anybody. So Clint Bowen has been a huge piece. You're talking about a guy that's been the interim head coach at Kansas. He's been the defensive coordinator at multiple places. At defense coordinator at Oklahoma State. Brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise, but he connects with players. He gets the most out of his players. And what I love about him, he's got kind of a high school mindset where he said, Coach, I want to run what our players do best. I don't want to run my system or anything like that. Sure. I want to figure out what our best 11 players do, and let's do that on defense. And he frustrates our offense every day, the many different looks that they do, the disguises that they do. It's only making us better, and the staff he has over there is allowing him to do so many other things. You got a safeties coach in Javonte Moffatt that played multiple years in the NFL, was, I think he's the fifth leading tackler at Middle Tennessee history, that is a phenomenal coach that connects with players. And this is first year in coaching. You wouldn't know it by the way that he is able to coach, but we just have so many good coaches with the fire and the passion that are getting the most out of our guys right now.
Coach, It's impossible to talk this season without talking about what's happening on campus. After playing at Braley Stadium since 1949, the Lions have a on-campus home at Bobby Wallace Field at Bank Independent Stadium. What about this community that you're trying to bring on campus? You have the 212 on your helmets. Talk to me a little bit about what that community means and how important it is to have games on campus.
So for us, what I've encouraged people, you know, I go speak to Rotary, I speak at churches in town, I speak to different groups in town, and I just remind everybody, this is your stadium. This is your football team. We are the University of North Alabama. We wear that on our jerseys for a reason, with pride, because we're your local school. We're your local university. So our players are going to play in such a way that we honor you. We're going to honor our alumni and our previous players that have played in this place and helped build this. But it's the community stadium. It's not UNA football stadium. It's not just North Alabama stadium. It's the North Alabama area stadium. So I want those fans to come out and have just as much pride in that place as we do. We know it's going to be a revenue generator. We know it's going to bring more money to the Florence area, to the people that are going to come watch games here. And it's awesome to have something new in any kind of phase of life. So the newness has brought in a better recruiting class. The newness has brought in revisions and things to campus that we wouldn't see ahead of that. The area around it, the city's pouring in money to the streets around it to revive the area. So there's just so many positives that are happening with this stadium.
Coach Brett Dierman of the UNA Lions with us on the phone lines on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, giving us our full look around the state. And Coach, talking about your home stadium, before you even get to play a true game in that stadium on campus, doing something really, really cool in week zero. It's UNA and Samford at Joe Davis Stadium in Huntsville. This is going to be the first college football game ever played and the first meeting between these two programs since 2002. What does a moment like this mean for not only your team, not only your staff, but the community of Huntsville as well as North Alabama, just for a really, really special moment like that and you being able to be a part of it?
You know, I think it's special for the whole state, you know, for two FCS programs that have had either a storied D2 background or an FCS program in Samford that has had multiple playoff runs and have been really good at football. I think it's awesome for this state to have this football game. I think, you know, I've got ties to Huntsville. I met my wife in Huntsville, played for the Tennessee Valley Vipers back in the day. So for me, it means a lot. But I think it's so much more for the city of Huntsville, for our fan base. We've got a lot of fans and alumni that live in Huntsville. It's going to help in recruiting because us and Samford battle for in-state players. Mm-hmm. So this game has so many different things riding on it, or so many different ways that this game is going to affect both programs, but also the state for years to come. So we're very excited about going to Huntsville and taking the show on the road a little bit to Huntsville to play Samford.
Talking about taking the show on the road, just a week later, you're making your way up to Fayetteville, Arkansas, UNA's first game against an SEC opponent since 1959. It's going to be televised on SEC Network as well. So you talk about the exposure that that's going to bring this Arkansas program with a whole bunch of changes as well. When you combine that with the seven games in the North Alabama region, six of those being true home games, and the new stadium opening with the West Florida rivalry coming back as well, how big of an opportunity is this entire 2026 schedule to grow not only the visibility of this team, but the overall footprint of North Alabama football?
I think we've got a great opportunity to put the logo out there to the whole world. You know, you talk about a Samford game in Huntsville. We already talked about all the ramifications that mm-hmm. game has, but then to get to go play on the SEC Network in week two, second time ever to play an SEC opponent in school history, a Razorback staff, a Razorback team that is – got a lot of hype going on with it right now for a lot of reasons, rightfully so. But to go up there, and we know that there's going to be 70,000-80,000 people calling the Hogs on game one. Great opportunity for our players in that venue that they all grew up wanting to play in the SEC, wanting to play in a venue like that. But going to have a chance to have a national spotlight on us. And get six home games for the first time since I've been here. So very exciting schedule ahead of us.
Coach, looking at the United Athletic Conference, your conference that you play home in, a lot of changes happening. You have some teams leaving. You have some teams moving up. What is this conference going to look like in the grand scheme of the FCS, and how do you want to take advantage of some of the changes with membership on the field?
You know, for football, we've been part of this conference now for a few years. All the other sports are now going to it. So I've been able to work with some of our other coaches of other teams of best places to travel into, best places to stay. Not too many changes for us outside of we lose two teams from Utah and gain a team in West Florida, which is a rivalry, an old Gulf South Conference rivalry. So our blueprint for our conference hasn't changed much for football, but I think it's become the second best FCS conference total. It's very competitive league that you got to bring it every single week. Kind of reminds me of the old SEC West on Jefferson Pilot Sports on Saturday mornings.
Coach, before we let you get out of here, we've talked a lot about the names of the staff as well as some of the players on this team, but who haven't we talked about? Who is it that we are going to pay attention to, that fans are going to learn their name very, very quickly, whether that's a player, whether that's a coach, or somebody behind the scenes that deserves a little bit more recognition before we kick things off this season?
You know, as of yesterday, our team voted on four leaders, and Jaheen Ingram and Colin Wright were two. You're talking about local guys that played at Muscle Shoals High School, both of them. Both have been three-year starters here, both O-line and D-line. And then Destin Wade, of course. And then Josh White is a transfer from Memphis, defensive lineman, about 6'4", 320 pounds, that has come in since January and won his teammates over. So we're those are the four guys that got elected as captains for a reason. So those are the ones I wanted to kind of bring to the national spotlight today.
Definitely. Yes, sir. And finally, Coach, going to give you the floor. And for somebody that's listening, whether that's in the Auburn-Opelika area, whether that's anywhere throughout the state of Alabama or throughout the South that hasn't necessarily followed this North Alabama team too closely before, tell them why 2026 is the year to come to Florence, experience the new stadium, learn these players' names, and ultimately become a fan of North Alabama Lions football.
You know, I want people to know that we do things the right way and we take care of our state. I think it's important. You know, your state tax dollars go to the education system, and we recruit the state of Alabama harder than any school in the country. I think we have 20 local kids on scholarship. When I say local, I'm talking about within a 45-minute radius of the school. But then we stretch down to Mobile. We recruit Mobile really hard. We recruit Montgomery really hard. Some of our best players are from the Enterprise, Auburn area. We recruit Birmingham hard. We do camps every year in those three cities because we know how much talent's there. So not only are we building a great FCS program, but we're doing it with the state of Alabama's high school football products. So I think that's a great reason for this state to take pride in the team that's in Florence, Alabama.
Awesome. Coach, we greatly, greatly appreciate your time, the insight into what this program is and what this program is becoming. We look forward to being able to follow this Lions team and hopefully be able to bring you on sometime throughout the season to give a little bit of an update on the excitement going on up in Florence, Alabama.
Absolutely. I love that, guys.
That's North Alabama head football coach Brent Dierman joining us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line for this week's look around the state. And again, guys like that, guys like Coach Dierman, the stories like Coach Dierman are the exact reason of why we are wanting to do a weekly special like this. These are stories that are worth telling across the football landscape, across the state, players worth knowing, again, coaches worth hearing from, and programs that are building something that honestly deserves the attention throughout the state of Alabama, and I think North Alabama fits that description perfectly in 2026.
No, I'm excited for what's going on the Shoals. I mean, you look at the new stadium, you're continuing in that UAC conference that I think, I agree with him, is one of those underrated conferences. You look, Tarleton State has gotten really good. Austin Peay has been good. Little Rock in Central Arkansas, mm-hmm. Quarterbacked by former Auburn quarterback Walker White. So might need we'll be able to talk to him hopefully maybe before that game and be able to hear what's going on up in Central Arkansas. But a big appreciation to the people in North Alabama that helped us get this done. And another team that we're able to cover, and they take on the Samford Bulldogs, another team that Auburn plays this year. There's a lot of big stuff going on in Florence.
Yeah, I appreciate Coach Dierman as well for taking some time to join us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will continue on here in hour number two on this Wednesday afternoon.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, man. What a really cool interview, a cool opportunity to be able to dive into the world of another college football program. And that's something that, again, we want to take a whole lot of pride in being able to do on this show. And again, appreciate Coach Brent Dierman for taking some time to join us and give the insights on the UNA Lions, what their expectations are for 2026, and all of the really, really cool things happening up in Florence, Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, and if Auburn fans want to take notes, this team is going to be in Jordan-Hare Stadium on November 4th, 2028, as currently scheduled. So, and they added a 2032 matchup that was having to get moved when the SEC went to a 9-game schedule, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. There was them, and then who was the other? Oh, we made a joke about them the other day, but I don't remember exactly.
Was it? Well, it wasn't Austin Peay, was it?
No. Oh, I can't remember.
But that would have been a game that we played this season. But because of that, because we had to move some dates around with that, we'll be playing them in 2028. So excited, you know, hope to see Coach Dierman heading up here in about 2 years and being able to take on the Tigers in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, you go ahead and upset the Razorbacks, but Coach Dierman, don't come into Jordan-Hare Stadium. And
which he knows pretty well. He knows how to win in Jordan-Hare Stadium when he was with Gus Malzahn, probably the last Auburn coach to do that. But Alex Golish is trying to change that, Christian.
He is. He is trying to change that. Auburn had their second scrimmage inside Jordan-Hare Stadium here this morning, and then they had the media availability at noon that we were able to attend earlier this afternoon. And some of the biggest quotes, again, going around talking about Bryce Kane, obviously, the position change. They said he still is kind of running both sides right now. He's running with the DBs. He's also still running with the wide receivers as well. Gave a lot of quotes about the offensive line, a lot of quotes about the receivers, a lot of quotes about the defense, and how the defensive line, when it wants to be really good, it can be really good. And talked a lot about the individual players, and again, just talking in terms of the Alex Golish perspective, the ability and the priority that he has of naming all of his players by name. I feel like that means a lot. Rather than sitting there going, yeah, our linebacker unit, right? Or yes, the defensive line needs to work on this. We have learned that Alex Golish enjoys being able to talk about his team and is one of the longer-winded coaches, and I think that's a really good thing when you're talking about the attention to detail and the depth that he has of knowledge of this team. But he has the ability to answer every single question about every single player. And he works his way down from the left guard to the right, or the left tackle to the left guard to the center, the right guard, the right tackle. He can work his way on the defensive front. He can work his way through the linebacker room. And it's just, I don't know, that's just something that stands out to me every single time that we have the opportunity to speak with him, every time we have the opportunity to hear from him. Not that that goes and ultimately determines what the scoreboard looks like on Saturdays, but at worst, I guess it's a step in the right direction for the progress of what we see with Coach Alex Golish. Again, winning everything that you possibly can before September 5th even gets here.
100%. Again, it's that intentionality where, yeah, this guy, he's changing his body specifically. Not, again, just like you said, not just, yeah, our room's looking pretty good this year. Yeah, we have six offensive NFL prospects at linemen. Yeah. It's this guy, he's improved on his kick step. This guy's really working in pass protection, but we need him to buy into the run game. This guy has been a senior leader for us. He's able to do that for the entire roster at any position group. And it's that, it's, you know, even just responding with the reporter's name when they ask him a question, getting to know these the guys on the beat in the media availability rooms. It just shows that there's a different approach being taken than in years past.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And we don't have time to play all of the 28-minute audio that was given to us earlier this afternoon, but do want to be able to play Alex Golish's opening statements. Again, this was from earlier this afternoon, following their game two, their second scrimmage inside Jordan-Hare, what he saw, what he liked, and what fall camp has looked like so far for the Auburn Tigers.
All right, so scrimmage two. We went right around 100 plays total, so a little bit less than the last one. We've got an off day tomorrow going into two more days of camp. And then Saturday will be a big day for us. We've got parents' cookout, which will be a cool deal for our guys to see their families for the first time in a while. And we've got an alumni cookout going on at the same time. So we got about 200 former players coming back. Jairus has done a great job with getting those guys back, and I'm excited to see them. We've got some situational stuff to work through on Friday, and then really a big conglomerate practice on Saturday. That'll be a ton of situations, essentially to get us ready to go into a mock game week. Then we'll go into a mock game week next week, essentially go through a normal game week for these guys, which will be the first time that they do that, and then that'll lead into a normal game week leading up to Baylor. So we got two more days of working on us before we turn the page today. You know, some really, really good stuff came out of today on both sides. Tackled so much better. I was really proud of the way we tackled. There was some violent intent defensively. Some really good situations came up. Worked a lot of substitutional stuff, even just something as simple as taking the field after a kickoff today, which there was some teaching there. Offensively, some explosives, some long drives, which was good for both sides to work, especially in the heat the way it was. I think until you get into, and I'm talking offensive football here, until you get into it, with truly coaches off the field and long drives, and what does that really feel like to go 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 plays in a drive at the tempo that we play? There's nothing like actually doing it. You could try to replicate it all you want, but there's nothing like doing it. And I thought there was some really, really positive there. I left really impressed with some individual performances today with Dallas Walker, who has maybe been as consistent as anybody defensively for us. Man, what a blessing that he got the year back, and he's become a leader. He doesn't say a whole lot, but become a leader. I'm beyond proud of him. Deshaun Womack today I thought was really impressive. Jared Smith today was really impressive. Eric Winters today was really, really impressive. We got Caleb Harris back this week, which was huge. We got Newboy back this week, which was huge. Both those guys played well. I thought we played well at corner today and did some really good things offensively. I thought Byron was super steady. Keyshawn Singleton continued to be super steady. Chaz Nimrod today was really, really solid. Protected well for the most part. So I thought there was some positive. Where we're not very good right now, really on both sides, is truly recognizing situational football and the guys taking control of it. And what I mean by that is just simply understanding where it is rather than just playing the next play, but where are we? What's the situation? What are we trying to do? And that takes time. That takes the play callers being on the same page with the guys. And that's why I say we still need two more days of us working on us to get closer to that. I think the biggest thing, and I said this to the staff last night, the biggest thing I'm proud of is how much this team has come together. Some of it was forced early, but these guys genuinely care and respect each other. They care about each other. And I've tried to create as crazy of adverse situations for them to have to fight through, and they just keep coming together. I'm incredibly proud of them. What I'm not super happy with right now is just purely the situational football execution. And and even the recognition of it. And a lot of that comes with being a young football team. And we are super, super young at some key spots. And so that's, again, the emphasis the next 2 days. I do believe the intent is getting close to right. I do believe the physicality is getting close to right. And we will see where we are here in a couple weeks. But health-wise, we held a couple guys out today. We got, I think Taylor told me, the J.J. Falk that got out. I can't fathom how something would get out here, but he had surgery today. The hope is that towards the end of the season, end of November, December, we would have him. So as of right now, we'd be out for the regular season, which stinks. But feel for him, and he's worked hard to put himself in a position to play. Other than that, in terms of anything serious, there isn't. We'll be, other than what we've already announced, we'll be at full strength come Friday. So we'll be in a really, really good spot. Everybody that was 100% scrimmage today. We moved some twos up to some ones at the end of the scrimmage just to get some reps. Tristan took one reps today. Locke and Reese took two reps offensively, which was good with the one and two O-lines.
That was head coach Alex Golish. The opening statements given to the Auburn media following scrimmage two inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Again, I don't have time to play the full audio. I think Bill Cameron's going to be able to play a little bit here this afternoon, so he'll be able to get a little bit more from the reporter questions and then the answers on that side of things, which, again, dives a little bit deeper into a little bit more of the position groups, a little bit more into the skill guys, and a little bit more into just what the overall scrimmage looked like for the Auburn Tigers. We'll take a break. We will come back and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line with...
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, we're back here wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, a interview content-driven afternoon, but wouldn't want it any other way. That's what we hope a lot of our Wednesdays are going to look like. Again, all of our high school coverage in hour number one. Another big-time thank you to Jacob Osments of the Lee Scott Warriors and Keith Etheridge of the Auburn High Tigers for taking the time and sitting with us, giving their insight on everything going on at Judd Scott Field and at Duck Sanford Stadium, both of those teams at home to kick off the season on Friday night. And then in hour number two, again, a big thank you to Coach Brent Dierman of the North Alabama Lions for taking the time. Again, same thing, giving us an insight into his program, into what the staff is doing, into the some of the renovations that are happening between the lines and as well outside as well, because a brand new stadium up there that, again, he was able to dive into, as well as a really, really cool game taking on Samford and Huntsville, the first ever game to be a football game to be played up there. And so how big that is just for the state of Alabama. And so a really, really cool show, a really unique show. And again, that's what a lot of this is going to look like. But the first week that we've had everything that we've actually planned on the calendar for quite some time, this is what Wednesdays going forward will feel like.
Yeah, exciting stuff. Again, you thank the coaches, thank you to their athletic departments. And it's only the second one of us, our second interview, our third week doing this. It's going to get better. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to be adding in our football coverage. And you mentioned earlier, Christian, the uniforms.
Yeah.
Alabama and Tennessee wearing their home-and-home uniforms, bringing back the orange, that gaudy orange, and the crimson uniforms. I think that's phenomenal. I'm looking at a tweet right now from AL High School Helmets.
Yes.
And it says the same thing. Do it with Auburn and Opelika.
See.
Please.
My thing is that the Auburn blue and the Opelika red, or the Opelika black, those, you can easily tell the difference. And I'm not acting as if I'm colorblind or anything, but when you're looking at red and you're looking at orange, there's at least a little bit of a comparison.
Sure.
There. Rather than like the NFL, the color rush, I wish they'd bring those back, like the full-on Thursday night color rush uniforms, because like
I mean,
those
like the
are sweet.
The Jaguar, like mustard.
Yeah.
The Titans with like their really, really, really bright blue.
I loved it.
The Seahawks highlighter green. The Ravens had the purple. Like,
was
like
it a little bit obnoxious?
Grimace.
Yes, but it
yes.
was.
Middle. Once. I was the target demographic for it being in middle school for the time.
Yeah.
With you in the pulled up Nike Elite.
Nike Elite socks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I spent my time into that as well.
Yeah, so just that is so awesome. But I know that you said that orange and red too close together, you don't like it.
I don't know that I'm a big fan. I love.
Would you like it for the Iron Bowl if it was crimson and navy?
That's at least different enough. Sure.
Sure.
That
okay.
being said, I still think a road white uniform is absolutely beautiful, especially
yeah.
if you're able to go all whites.
See, but then you got the teams that are home whites.
Then it just gets confusing.
Yes.
Then it's just whack. But what wasn't whack was today's program. And a lot's still coming your way. Chris Gordy, Brad Law, a special guest joining us tomorrow as well. But until then, he's TP Hammett. Wow. There's
just
guest.
Not me.
That's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them. And hope you'll be there to join us.